I showed Emily a song today. I love songs like this because it stops you in your tracks. You know for a fact God's working in your life. And I'm learning it, so I'm not ready to sing it yet, because I can't even make it through the first verse without crying. So we've got a little time to work on it. But it says that I've hurt, but I've seen God's hand working in the verse. And it's been that way in my life. The verses are all over what's going on in my life right now, and I just can't get it out. So you're going to have to bear with me on that song. But prayer has helped me, definitely. Yeah. My prayer life and y'all's prayers are definitely changing things in my life, and I just can't not acknowledge that anymore. So I'm grateful. There was a king who got a letter, mighty army without number. He spread it out there for the Lord to get a view. He sent a prophet, just one angel. The devil's army split in two. It's just amazing what a prayer can do. It's moved mountains, parted rivers, brought the dead to life again. I've called upon an old prayer warrior a time or two. If you're in trouble, I'll go down on my bended knees for you. It's just amazing what a prayer can do. I've seen a mama and a baby fight for life the whole night through. Seemed all hope was gone. The tears that fell were not a few. There's old grandpa in the corner, knew the blood would bring him through. That baby's still alive, showed what prayer can do. It's moved mountains, parted rivers, brought the dead to life again. I've called upon an old prayer warrior a time or two. If you're in trouble, I'll go down on my bended knees for you. It's just amazing what a prayer can do. If you're in trouble, I'll go down on my bended knees for you. It's just amazing what a prayer can do. It's just amazing what a prayer can do.
Is Cora wanting to sing? No, she's good. She sung at the house. I wasn't going. She said, yeah. Okay. Amen. You want to sit right here and sing with me? What do you want to say? Yeah, Bob. You want to stay right here? Okay, sing real loud, okay? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible.
Behold.
Behold. I'm going to play that one. Sing it. Behold, behold, I stand at the door and behold, behold, I stand at the door and if anyone hears my voice, if anyone hears my voice, I will open the door and I'll come in. No, we're not singing Baby Bumblebee. Good job.
Dale, you have a song for us, brother?
Yeah.
Come right on. Anyone else have one? Be getting prepared. Someone else have one, a song for worse. You know, the Bible was separated in history books. We got the Pentateuch. Moses was there for four of them. And probably Genesis, he might have edited 10 other writers that our God might have just gave to him himself. But the four of them, it was there. And the Pentateuch, you got the historical, you got the Kings, you got Chronicles, all those books. You got five books of wisdom. That's my question. You know the five books of wisdom? Two's pretty easy. Proverbs and Psalms is pretty easy. Ecclesiastes. Songs of Solomon. Four. Anybody know the fifth one? Job. Anyone else have a song for us?
Good.
Apostle Peter proclaimed that, didn't he? Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. No word better than that, right? But I said the songs, the books of wisdom. Psalms is such a beautiful book. So much in there. Psalms deals with about everything. David wrote a lot of, I think Hezekiah might have wrote some psalms, and Solomon might have wrote some. So, great book. Anyone else have a song or testimony? Right on, preacher.
Everybody stand, if you would. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Turn with us to the book of Corinthians. I won't hold you long tonight, in all honesty. You can say amen to that. But I do have a thought on my heart, and I want to bring it, that God would have his way. I believe that we as a church are going to go through some hard times. We're already seeing the birth pains of that. But you and I as children of God are children of God. And God's going to keep those that are his own. And he's going to take care of us through the hard times, through the times that are rough. And I've learned that in my ministry, and as I've watched a lot of people, that when hard times come, the only thing you do is fall upon what you've been taught. You fall back on the Word of God. You fall back on the things that you've been done. A soldier in the army does the same thing. When bullets are flying and all that, you don't have time to think. You fall back on your training. You fall back on what you've been taught. And that's what we do as a child of God. We get into the Word of God, and the Word of God gets into us, and it makes us strong. It helps us to be all that God wants us to be. And the more we're going to face, the more we need to put in us. And the more accustomed to the Word of God we need to become, and it makes us stronger. So we prepare for battle. We prepare for the future. And tonight I just want to give you some things about the promises of God. I want to give you just two or three, four promises that you need to take with you every day of your life. You need to realize that who you are and whose you are in God. And God said, I'll take care of you. I'll bless you. And in 2 Corinthians is a wonderful scripture that I think will lead us into this. I've never preached on this one scripture. I've quoted it a lot. But I've never really brought out the thought that is here and what it means, and we're just going to touch on it tonight. Not going to spend much time, but I'd like for you to really meditate on this, these verses that we'll give in the message this week, and prepare yourself for what is coming. Prepare yourself for the things down the road. The Bible said in chapter 2 of, let's go to chapter 1, I think that's where I'm going to be reading from, so be good that you was on the right chapter. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, very familiar, some of you can quote it. It said, for all the promises of God, in him are yea, and in him, in Christ, are amen. Unto the glory of God by us, by you, by me. Paul wasn't just meaning himself, he was meaning all. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd go with us now, guide us and direct us in the place that we are today. Help us to be people, Lord, that rest in and stay in and stand upon the Word of God. And we'll give you praise, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm a positive person, and I'm all for being positive. And I believe you'd agree with me, there are too many negative children of God. There's too much murmuring. There's too many things that bother us as a child of God, and too often we let it be known. And I don't think that a child of God should do that. We don't have to do that. I think we can choose to be positive, or we can choose to be negative, and that's what the Bible is talking about here. We have the promises. They're at our hand, but a lot of us don't take them in hand and use them to the honor of God and to the blessing of the Lord. Now, your glass tonight is either half empty or half full. It can be either one. It's what you choose it to be. Your life can be filled with trouble, or it can be filled with blessing. It's what you choose to see. As a child of God, we can determine our intellect, determine what we desire, and determine our altitude for God, or we can determine how low we can get. It doesn't matter how old we are. My goodness, I see a lot of young people today that's some of the saddest specimens of humanity I've ever seen in my life. And they got everything to look forward to. They got a lot to look forward to. They don't have pains. They don't have, they're not at the end of their life looking back. They're at the beginning of their life looking ahead. They've got everything, but they don't see that. And I hear people, they'll say, "Brother Rudy, I'm a morning person. And I get up early, I'm in a good mood. But boy, of a night, man, I can cut your head off with my voice." And vice versa. There's some of you that are night people and you stay up. "But buddy, of a morning, don't you speak to me." That's a choice. You choose to be that way, and we can choose to be happy or choose to be sad. You can choose to be whatever you want to be in life. The Bible says, as you think in your heart, so are you. And we need to understand that. So I choose to be positive. I choose to have an attitude that God would have me to have because it's a choice. The Bible says here that all the promises of God in Christ, and when you're saved, you're in Christ, in Him are amen. Are yay, you've got them. All 7,000 of them, they're yours. And we claim them as a child of God. And instead of complaining, we're positive. Instead of thinking about the negative, we want to choose to think about the positive in our lives. And that's a choice. You can go around feeling sorry for yourself, or you can go around thanking God for the blessings He's given you. It's up to you. Look to your neighbor and say, "Think positive." Can you do that? Just think positive. I'm not saying step back and forget all of the trouble that you're in and just ignore it. It's going to turn out all right anyway. And actually, according to the word, it will. But you're going to have to choose to be what God wants you to be. You can be unhappy or happy. And tonight, I choose to be happy. Now, the Bible says here that we need to focus upon the promises of God. You don't think about your circumstances. You don't think about what could happen. I know a lot of people tonight, as I came through, I was visiting, and as I came in, church about ready to start, there was a lot of people standing on the road, and they were looking up at the sky. Well, boy, I got to thinking, they're watching a tornado. Well, I started trying to see the tornado. There wasn't no tornado. There's a dark cloud. But there's always a dark cloud over us if we choose to see it. There's always circumstances in our life that are bad if we choose to think about them. There's always pains that we can focus on if we choose to focus on them. But we can choose not to do the same just as easy. The Bible says here that we need to do those things. So there are some promises that I want you to put down and think about in your life. Number one, we have the promise of His presence. We promise of His presence. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how bad the circumstance is. A promise of God is the presence of the Lord. Emmanuel is God with us. And He is with us no matter how bad it is, no matter how dark it is, no matter how lonely we get, God is with us. And I thank God this morning this evening for His presence. I thank God that He's with me. I'm rejoicing. I feel almost like a kid. I know I'm not. I know I'm almost as old as some of you, and some of you are really old, you know. And so I know that. But I feel like a kid. I feel like I've been given a new lease on life. I'm learning verses. I'm getting into the Word of God, and it's changing my life. It's changing who I am. And I've been in the Word for years. I was doing this, but not like I'm doing it now. My goodness, and having devotions with God and getting close to Him, I failed. I let my study time for messages and lessons and all of that take over my devotional time. And I didn't even know it, didn't realize it until I've been doing this. And oh my goodness, it has blessed me and it's changed my life. And I'm just feeling His presence, His glory that He gives to me. And I tell you, I hope I get like D.L. Moody said one time, as he's walking the streets, and God's presence fell on him so hard, so strongly, that he said, God, on his knees, he found a place by himself, and he said, "Oh God, unless you move this from me, I'll die." And he literally felt that he would. My goodness, that's joy. That is peace, the presence of the Lord. You and I, as children of God, need to have those times that we sit down, close the door, shut our mind off, and get our act toward God. We're looking up. We're sensing the Spirit of God. Thank God He'll never leave us. But number two, His peace. Jesus promised you and I peace. He didn't say that it would be an absence of trouble or an absence of heartache or an absence of pain. But He promised us He would give us not the world's peace, but He would give us the peace of God. He's the Prince of Peace, and He can do that. that even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of a broken heart, you can have peace unto God. And the peace comes through choice. We've already been given this deposit of God's peace. When the Holy Spirit entered our lives and He shed abroad in our hearts the fruit of the Spirit, it came alive in our hearts, and we have it. They're at our hand, but they're not in our hand. You have to, by faith, grasp what God has said you have. Faith is the activator. Faith is the power. It's the gas in the gas tank. And you have to activate these promises with faith. You have to trust God that what He said is true. You need God to act on something. You need Him to move in your life or the life of others you live. You've got to have faith to do that. You got to see it happen before it happens. And the same thing is true in our lives and how we choose to think and how we choose to act. There's always bad stuff. There's always stuff that can break our heart. That's going to be the par for our life throughout our life. But thank God we got the Word of God that offsets that. The power of God that activates through faith that comes into our life and changes that. And that is what God means in our life. See, I went scuba diving a few times. The first time I went, I remember going and I had on a full wetsuit and it was, I had to break the ice to go in, but it was warm. It was something. I couldn't stop breathing. I used a whole lot of air in just a little bit of time. But my goodness, I was ready. It was wonderful. But listen, that was a foreign environment to me. I cannot by myself live underwater. I'll die. I'll drown. But I had something with me from this life that I took to that life under the water that kept me alive. Well, the Bible says that when we get saved, that the Holy Spirit gives us something from that life to live with in this life, because this is not our home. This is not the place that we abide. And God has placed that in our lives through the Holy Spirit of God. You understand what I'm saying? Just as I had to take this oxygen with me into the watery life, which I couldn't live on my own, you and I have to have something in this life, from that life, from the heavenly life that we live in, that gives us strength. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's been deposited in your soul. But you activate that by faith. There are a lot of children of God have no joy. They're enduring this walk. They're negative. They're not positive. They see all the bad and none of the good. They see cursing and not blessing. They, my goodness, they get up with a cloud on their above their heads and they go to bed like that. They're like Charlie Brown walking around and the lightning is just hitting them all the time. You don't have to be that way. The Bible says that we have His presence and we have His peace. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me, Jesus says. And when we believe in Him and trust Him, and the faith is activated in us, we have a joy that passes all understanding. But not only His presence, His peace, but His power. See, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to us. The promise of the Father that the Bible says and told us that we had is a promise of the delivery of the Holy Spirit when we get saved. And God said, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me. You shall learn of me. It talks about a lot. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. I may have told you about this some time ago. I don't know if I have or not. Never known if I used it. I love the illustration. It is true. It's good. This gentleman used to use a crosscut saw to saw with. He was a lumberman and a timber cutter, and he cut timber a long time ago, and he would use a crosscut. Well, they came out with this newfangled thing. You've probably heard of it, a chainsaw. And they came out with this chainsaw, and he said, buddy, I got to have one of them. He heard about all that he would do and how much more wood you could cut. And he had used this crosscut saw most of his life. And I've used one of those. I don't know if you have. Them things, it takes a man to do that. I didn't do it long. But anyway, I'm not much of a man. I'll say it for you. But anyway, he went out and he found one of these chainsaws. And the salesman said, do you know how to use it? Why, yeah, I've cut timber all my life. Well, he gave him the chainsaw and he had some gas and oil. And he filled that thing up with gas and oil. And he never used it before. Went out there in a buggy in a wagon, you know. He never used anything like that. And he cut all day, and he only cut one tree down. One. Son, he was wore out. He said, I'm much better with this crosscut saw. Well, he took this new, brand new chainsaw back to the guy, and he said, this thing didn't work for me. He said, I want my bunny back. And the man said, what do you mean? It's good. It runs great. He said, I cut one tree today, all day long. He said, I am wore out. He said, I could cut three or four of that cross-cut saw. Well, the man said, let me see it. And he got it. He started it up. Boy, that old guy jumped back and he said, what's that? He didn't know what he had. That's the child of God in this life. If you're not where God wants you to be, you don't know what you got if you're a child of God. You don't have to be negative. You don't have to think bad thoughts. You don't have to worry about the bad. The Bible said that and when we take it and activate it by faith, that even the bad things turn for our good. What more could you ask? The Bible said we got his presence, we got his peace, and we've got his power. We're like the man that had the chainsaw and could cut and could have done it. He knew how. He didn't know what he had. You have the power of God about you. You're a child of the King. Say that with me. I'm a child of the King. I like that. That'll change your life. That'll change how you see things. It'll change who you are. But not only do we have the power of Christ, and the Philippians 4:13 said we can do all things through him, which gives us strength, but we have his pardon. Thank God. I will never suffer the wrath of God. Jesus Christ took all of my sin and he gave me all of his righteousness. I may not look very righteous, but I am. Not in me, but in him. And it's in him I live and move and have my being, not in me. The Bible says that I have been pardoned. I have been forgiven of every sin. You know, I've met a lot of Christians and a lot of times, and they don't mean to, but they do. They'll go back in their past and they'll remember who they were or what they did, and it really puts a damper on who they are now. You don't have to go back there. God never goes back there. He never remembers what you used to be. He remembers what you are and what you can be for him. He sees you at your pinnacle. He sees you at the best you can be because he sees you in Jesus Christ. See, when God sees me, he doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the failure. He doesn't see the doubt. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. That double transference, when he took my sin, he didn't leave me just empty and waiting. He gave me his righteousness. I have that righteousness now. I've been clothed with it. But knowing that and living like that and not is two different things. There's a lot of Christians that have it. They don't know it. A lot of Christians, they have accepted Christ in their heart, but it's out there, it's in their hands, but they haven't put it here. You do that by faith. All of these promises are activated by faith. I believe that God said what he said for me, and I accept it. I don't have to earn it. He gave it to me. I can't be righteous. He said I couldn't. It's filthy rags. But I can rest in him. And that's what the Christian life is all about. That's what discipleship is all about. It's just allowing God to have his way in your heart. Doing what he would have you do. My goodness, Eliza had it right. If you and I could do that, get a girl would say, just let God have his way and do what he says for you to do, we'd be a lot better off. You know that? And he said to have faith in me. Trust me. And I aim to do that. The devil's lied to me too much, and I believe too much that he said. And I'm going to start believing what God would have in our lives. So what do I do? I understand who I am, that I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God in my worst day, and I'm a child of God in my best day. I'm a child of God. And I praise God for that. But also, God is mine. He's mine. I have him. I know him. And I'm learning more about him. But I have him. And as children of God, we can make it and not just survive. We can excel. Are you excelling in the Christian life? Are you reaching the place that you know God wants you to be? You can. No matter how old you are. It's where you choose to be. I choose to be all that God wants me to be. What about you? I want you to bow your heads. I'm done. You won't get many short sermons from this pulpit. So enjoy this tonight, but I want you to think about it. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All the promises, 7,000 of them, are yours. By faith, Activate them. Ask God of things that you need that you can't do yourself. And he'll give it to you. I'm asking him to clear my mind like it was when I was 20 and 30. And I could learn a verse of scripture and I'd read two or three times and I'd learn it. Why didn't I apply myself then? And young people, apply yourself now. Before you get to the age that it's harder to learn. Oh my goodness. But don't you give up. I don't care if you're 90 years old here. Your job's not done yet or you'd be dead. God's got to work for you. He's got something for you to do. Rejoice in that and do it. Do what you can all the time you can for the God above. And God will bless you. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, dear Lord, that as a child of God, we can always be positive. As a child of God, the day is always good because it's the day you've made and we rejoice in it. Father, we ask that you would help us to get up tomorrow, go to bed tonight, no matter what circumstance we're in, no matter what trouble we are. And Father, may we realize your power, your provision has been given to us. Dear God, help us to understand the presence of God is about us in the pardon, the forgiveness. It's all over us. And we give you praise for that. I love you tonight. And I praise you, dear God, for every second of life that you give me. I will not waste it. I will not use it to think negative anything. I'm going to lift you up and lift these up in Jesus' name. Have your way now. And everybody said amen. God's good, isn't he? And I love him. I appreciate